A sigh of relief finally came over him as he walked off the badly battered ship named the Hopewell. Smoke could clearly be seen out in the distance, which was coming from the same location he had last seen his friends and family at Roanoke. I could imagine him wondering how different they all looked after 3 years of being away from them. His granddaughter Virginia Dyer, who was the first English settler to be born in the New World, had to be almost 3 now. I bet she was unrecognizable. Little did he know that once he stepped foot back on that island, he would never be the same again. You see, once he arrived back at Roanoke, he wasn't welcomed by the cheers of the colonists or the laughter of children playing. He was welcomed with nothing but the silence of empty houses and torn down walls. After 3 years of no contact with the outside world, the colony of Roanoke and all 115 settlers were gone without a trace. This is the story of the Lost Colony. Welcome to Origin Mysteries. The real story here isn't what happened during the 3 years 115 settlers were stranded at Roanoke. This is mainly because, still to this day, no one really knows what went on, and if any actually survived. The real story is about the people involved in all the expeditions in order to form Roanoke as the first colony in America. It's about what they did, their struggles, and most of all, the sacrifices they had to make in order to fulfill their one goal, to be the first colony in the New World. It all began when Queen Elizabeth I decided it would be a great idea if England was the first to settle a colony in America, which back then was called the New World. In order to do so, in 1584, she granted one of her most trusted advisors, Sir Walter Raleigh, a royal charter, which allowed him to explore, colonize, and rule any remote lands, countries, and territories that weren't actually possessed of any Christian prince or inhabited by Christian people. In return, the queen would receive 1/5 of all the gold and silver that might be mined there. There was only one catch. This charter was only going to last 7 years, so he had to act fast. Raleigh quickly gathered some of the finest men in England in order to make the first expedition to the New World. The two men chosen to lead it were his cousin Sir Richard Greenville and a man named Sir Ralph Lane. Lane was a decorated military man, and for the last several years, Greenville had been at sea fighting the Spanish and taking over different islands in the name of the Queen. So, they were perfect to lead this expedition. The only problem was that Lane and Greenville hated each other. And it was really because Greenville was kind of a hothead, which would soon come back to bite Lane and Raleigh. One other important person was appointed by Greenville, a man named John White. He was in charge of making paintings of the New World and making maps of their journey. There will be a lot more about him later in this story. Raleigh gave them 5 ships, the Tiger, which was Greenville's, the Roebuck, the Red Lion, the Elizabeth, and the Dorothy. And on April 9th, 1585, Lane, Greenville, and White finally set sail for the New World. Their mission was to establish a colony in what is today North Carolina. The voyage was much harder than anyone had ever expected. It took over 5 months to get to their destination, and each ship ran into many issues. Everything from sickness to battles at sea against the Spanish, but something more drastic was about to happen. Much of their food supply was on the boat called the Tiger, and the closer it got to their destination, the less patient everyone got. This led to a major mistake, which led to the ship running ashore just off the coast of Roanoke. They not only severely damaged their ship, but they also lost over half their food supply. Even though they were able to repair the damages of the ship and continue on, their plans had completely changed. Now desperate for food, Greenville became somewhat of a loose cannon, and even accused a nearby Indian village of stealing something from him. So, he went to their village with his men, looted and burnt everything to the ground. By August 17th, 1587, Lane had finally reached Roanoke with Greenville and about 107 other settlers. But being low on food and now having an enemy in one of the multiple neighboring Indian tribes, it didn't take long for everyone to start to panic. Due to their depleting food supply, Greenville gathered a few of his men and decided to return back to England in order to bring more food and people back to them in 1 year's time. Lane was left with barely enough food to last a year, but was confident that Greenville would be back very soon. This would only be the start of the problems at Roanoke. Day by day, and week by week, it seemed as though the food was disappearing at an alarming rate. At this pace, they wouldn't make it half a year. So Lane decided to take it into his own hands. In order to survive, he and his men started kidnapping members of the neighboring tribes. They would then learn from them and steal their food. These activities went on a little too long, and as you can imagine, now they were the most hated thing anywhere around. To make matters worse, in April 1586, one full year had passed with no sign of Greenville. At this point, all hope was lost. And then, karma came back and bit them. The Indians Greenville attacked and destroyed their village decided to retaliate. And in June, with all hope lost and no food, they now had to fend off an attack. Somehow, they survived with little loss. But before they could catch their breath, someone else approached Roanoke. Lane prepared for the end, one final attack that would finish them off for good. Then, he heard a familiar voice. It was Sir Francis Drake, who was second in command of the Queen's Navy. He had just gotten done attacking the Spanish with 21 other ships, when he decided to pay Lane a visit in order to see the first colony in the New World. Upon his arrival, it was easy to see that he needed to take Lane and the others back with him to England. So, that's exactly what he did. And by July 22nd, they'd all finally returned home, safe and sound. When Lane got home, he decided to share with England the things he learned from the Indians. This included snuff, which was a smokeless tobacco, corn, and potatoes. In case you're wondering what happened to Greenville, well, he did end up coming back to Roanoke shortly after Lane left with Drake. Once he and his men arrived, they quickly realized the fort was now abandoned. So, he left 15 men behind with food and supplies in order to keep the fort in English hands. At this point, Lane and Greenville's mission was pretty much a total failure. Raleigh was pretty disappointed, and now worried that he wouldn't get his riches from the New World because his contract was expiring soon. He figured when one plan fails, you start writing another. And that's exactly what he did. This time, things would be very different. First, they wouldn't go back to Roanoke. Instead, they focused on getting to the Chesapeake Bay area. There, a large self-sustaining colony would form, and not only with soldiers this time, but women and children as well. In some cases, even entire families were chosen to go. Now, with his new destination and plan in effect, there was one thing missing. He needed a leader to lead the expedition. Raleigh thought who else was better fit than someone who'd already been to the New World. That someone was John White. Sure, in the previous attempt, he just painted the scenery around him, but he was a survivor with leadership traits, so he was perfect for the job. Raleigh gave him the title of governor, in full command of the expedition. And in May 1587, White's colonists, which included his daughter Eleanor and his son-in-law, sailed for Virginia in the ship called the Lion. Their guide was the same Portuguese navigator, Simon Fernandez, who had led the 1585 expedition. Simon was known as the Swine, and for good reason. Once the settlers got close to Roanoke in late July, they decided to get off the ship in order to check on Greenville's men. Once they were all off, the Swine took action. He blocked the entrance back to the ship, stating that because of the approaching winter, he wouldn't allow anyone back on board. John then decided that instead of fighting him, he would take the opportunity to try and successfully colonize Roanoke. As John and his men approached Roanoke, they were surprised to find it completely empty. The only thing they were able to find were human bones. Fearing the worst, John went to a neighboring Indian tribe to get answers. The chief there told John that another tribe savagely attacked his men and killed them all. So in a fit of rage, on August 8, 1587, John led his men into the opposing Indian camp. He killed only one, but injured a lot of others. The worst part was that they had been tricked. No Indians had attacked the other settlers. They were actually rescued by a passing ship. And now, John had made another enemy. 10 days later, things started to look up. Yes, they were tired and quickly running out of food. There was a bit of brightness around all that darkness. Her name was Virginia Dyer. She was the first child born in the New World, and John's granddaughter. It wouldn't take long for the colonists to come back to reality, however. Their food supply was dangerously low, and they needed someone to go back to England for supplies. In order to make sure they were successful, John volunteered to lead a small group of men back to England, and they would hopefully be back in about a year. John took one final look at the family he was leaving behind, and headed off to his ship. This would be the last time John would see his family and any of the other 115 colonists alive. It seems as though the journey to the New World was cursed from the beginning, because the same things continued to happen. The first attempt, they ran out of food and were left behind due to delays in their supplies getting to them. And now their second attempt was about to have the same thing happen to them as well. But this time, it would be different. This time, it wouldn't be just a year delay. Before he even got onto the ship, misfortune struck White's return to England. The anchor of the flyboat, in which White used to get to his main ship, could not be raised, and many crew members were severely injured during the attempt. Storms also delayed their arrival, and starvation and sickness killed many of his men. Finally, on the 16th of October, 1587, they landed in the west of Ireland, and White was finally able to make his way back to England. Once John was back in England, things would only get harder. Before he could even start to get off the ship, he was told he wasn't allowed to go anywhere. The Queen had just ordered all ships that were equipped enough for fighting to be used by the Royal Navy in order to fend off the pending attacks from the Spanish. They had a rumored unstoppable armada of ships, so England needed every ship prepped to defend the crown. This, however, wouldn't stop John. He now had to find a ship large enough for a small crew and supplies for the colony, and one that wouldn't be used to fight in the war. He soon found two, the Brave and the Roe. Unfortunately for John, the ships ended up being too small. They were barely able to stay afloat, but then they were attacked by French pirates. They caused massive damage to the ships, and John was even shot in the process. Somehow, they convinced the pirates to spare their lives, and only lost their supplies and what was left of their dignity. Now, completely out of luck, John had to wait until March 1590 before he could even try to sail again. By then, the Spanish invasion had been taken care of for the most part, so John White was once again given two ships, the Hopewell and the Moonlight. this voyage would be just as hard as all the others were. Sea battles, pirates, and weather greatly affected them. By the time both ships got to Roanoke, they were both badly damaged. But even through all their issues, on August 18th, 1590, John had finally arrived back at Roanoke. The only issue was that he was 3 years late. Now we're back to the beginning of the story. The colony of Roanoke had been abandoned for quite some time. John White stood in awe. After searching for the entire day, they only found a few signs of possible native troubles. John had hidden some personal items buried in the ground before he left. He once again found them, but this time they were all badly damaged. Theories started to spread of a possible native rebel attack that may have been the cause of the colony being deserted. But there wasn't any sign of a real fight. That many settlers would have taken a large force to take down, and there was no sign of any giant battle having been taking place in or around the colony. The only clues left were two things. One was carved in the fort wall, and another in a tree. The word Croatoan and the letters C-R-O. Croatoan was the name of a nearby island and tribe of Indians. So now White and his crew started to think that maybe they all left for there after they ran out of supplies. Before he left the colony, White set up a code. If the settlers of Roanoke were to be forced to leave their colony, they then were to carve a Maltese cross into a tree. This would tell anyone that something bad had happened and that they were forced to leave. This symbol was never found. White wanted to continue searching for the lost colonist and his family, but was forced to go back to his ship due to the pending hurricane that was fast approaching. The ship had already seen major storm damage and even battles at sea, so before they could take more damage, they had to return back home to England. John never returned back to Roanoke and never saw his family again. As you can imagine, this took a toll on him for the rest of his life. Little is known about what happened to him after all of this. All we do know is that he continued to make maps for Raleigh, and that almost every day he would look back on the decisions he made and regret them every time. It was said that his life after Roanoke was a truly depressing one, and even on his deathbed in 1593, he still regretted leaving his loved ones behind. No one knows what his cause of death was, but I believe that with such a heavy burden on his shoulders, John White died of a broken heart. Soon, Lane and Greenville would also lose their lives. When the Spanish Armada attacked in 1589, Greenville was given the position of captain over a ship called the Revenge. Unfortunately for him, he would soon be surrounded by 53 Spanish ships. And in perfect Greenville fashion, instead of surrendering, he went out in a blaze of glory. When Lane returned to England, he continued to work for the crown. He was even knighted in 1592. 2 years later, while fighting off an Irish rebellion, Lane was severely wounded. He would never fully recover, and finally died in 1603. Known as the greatest mystery of all time, the lost colony of Roanoke is still talked about today. Even now, there hasn't been one piece of evidence that shows any of the settlers survived, or if they did, where they went to. This led to many different theories. Some say they were attacked and captured by the Spanish. Others believe aliens abducted them. There is even a more interesting theory that they just joined another group of Indians and lived their lives in harmony with one another. What do you believe? Was it aliens, werewolves, the Spanish, or did they just leave in order to survive, only to live happily ever after? We may never know what truly happened. but if you're curious, you can visit Roanoke for yourself. But be careful. Some mysteries aren't meant to be solved. This is Origin Mysteries. Experience the mysterious. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm really interested in what you think about this episode, so please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does make a difference. Also, reach out to me via Instagram at Origin Mysteries. Lastly, thanks again for subscribing and listening. We'll see you next time.